And we're away for another edition of Zav Chat. Great that you could join us again, whether you're listening on a Wednesday as it just comes out, maybe Thursday this week, Anzac Day, or even beyond. I know a lot of people store it up, play it in the car on the way to morning drop-offs. But welcome along. Great to have our college captain, Gerard, here again with, of course, our principal, Bill Doherty, Mr. William Doherty, and two very special guests today. Bill, what's your thoughts?
Delight and lover to introduce them both. But maybe before I do, there's a reason why we've put it on at this time. Our guests are from our rowing sheds, and none other than our head of rowing, Todd Babranowski, and our captain of boats and stroker of the first eight, Harry Glass. Welcome to you both.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
It's a real pleasure. But as I said, there's a reason why we've left you to after the season is finished. Lovely to be able to reflect back on what is always a long and intense journey, and this year no less courageous than any other time. But I said to my good mate Shane Healy and Jared, why don't we leave it till after the head of the river, because I've got a funny feeling that this crew is going to go exceptionally well. And that was very much the case. Harry, I'd love to throw to you firstly. Tell us a little bit about, maybe I should set the scene. For those of you who might be unaware, this, and it's not about a first eight crew, it's about an entire shed, and I know these two will say that today, but our first eight boat, it's probably the best row in 25 years, certainly in terms of results. It was outstanding. It was effectively a two-horse race in the final. We led at the 500, we led at the 1,000, we led at the 1,500. I think we were line-balled about the 1,750, going past the great supporters of Xavier who are up at Nagambie, and just got done. But just an incredible and courageous row. Yeah, I know everyone who was there was just so proud. But Harry, to you, you know, tell us maybe a little bit about the preparation and all the things that have gone in leading to that moment. And then I'd love to hear from the stroke of the first, you know, take us through the race. But it's not just a one moment in time, is it? It's a long season.
Oh, God, no. So, like, I think with preparation, it's sort of starting. Well, next year's preparation's already started. Like, there's boys already doing their ergos, starting to get bulked up again for summer. Like, really, because it starts now. This time is where you load up your muscular mass, so then you can really train that towards the end of the season to really become those athletes you see, like the big boys who are able to push themselves in a aerobic effort for 6.5 minutes, or depending on the day, like you might get down sub 6 minutes hopefully. But like, I think as you go through the season, you're doing 11 sessions a week. Like, a lot of people don't really see that unless they're a parent of a boy there who has to get up at before 5 o'clock each morning, drive their son to training, which we're very appreciative of. But like, and then as you go later in the season, you start to move away from those longer sessions and get into shorter bursts of training, practicing your starts, practicing your mid-race pieces, and really winding it to the line, and competitive work against the other crew. So I remember in the last 2 weeks, we did a lot of pieces against the 10As and the seconds, and that's great to like get that bit of healthy competition within the program.
I'm sure both crews would have thrived off that, not just a first aid crew.
Oh, most definitely, yeah. So, like, sometimes we'd put the 10As a boat length in front, and then we'd have to chase them down. And so it was really good bit of competition and bonding amongst the whole boat club. And for others to see that as well, they can go, geez, that's where I want to be in a couple of years. So that was a great experience.
So take us into Nagambie, and obviously there's Scotch Mercs the week before, and then there's a heat in the morning to determine the lane selections, and then on to the big one. So, got us through the day, and then the race.
Well, yeah, the last 2 weeks are quite special because you get to go up on the Friday night and you stay with your crew. So I think that in itself's a great thing and quite unique to rowing as well, being able to spend that time of bonding with your crew the night before. Everyone's nerves are really heating up, so you're talking through the plan for the next day with your coaches and the rest of the boys in the cabin that night, and then you try and doze off to sleep, but you can sometimes hear the boys just rolling over. But especially like if you've got a few younger boys, it's good to be there for them, because I was lucky enough to do that in year 11 and year 12. So I really loved that experience in the last 2 weeks. But then on to race day, you wake up early, you go for a walk, and like you're really trying to keep battling those nerves. I think that's a big thing about rowing in those last, like, well, especially head of the river, is who can manage their nerves the best and just go out and execute that plan that you've been training for the last year. Because really it is that plan and all that training you've put in for the year comes down to the race.
So tell me about, you know, you had your first race of the morning. Like, were you satisfied after that? Did you do what you wanted to do? Or how are you feeling? Because then there's a big sort of six-hour layover before the big one.
I think that in that first race, we sort of went out wanting to win it. And, well, we didn't win the heat, but I think we still put ourselves in a great position and we were lucky with the lane draw, getting on that side out of the wind, lane three. So I think in that we just went away, we're like, right, we've secured our spot in the A final, the heat's behind us, and all our thoughts were focused on that next race. And once we've had that first one, I think that's how it should be. You shouldn't dwell on, oh, we didn't win the heat, because at the end of the day, like, no one really cares about what happened in your heat ahead of the river. It's all in that final.
And just before we maybe unpack it a little bit more with you in the final, we'll just sort of hold this over a little bit as we wait for the big race. But maybe, Tom, just a question to you. It's obviously the day, and especially the season, it's not about one boat. And maybe you could speak a little bit to the atmosphere and the culture and the club and that great sense of inclusiveness of all of the crews. And I know you've spent a lot of time around the nines and tens especially. You know, tell us about the entire shed on the day and through the season.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks, Bill. It's a wonderful lead into the head of the river. It's our ultimate goal in the rowing program is achieving at the head of the river our best performance. And we really put a lot of time in preparing for that throughout the season. And you arrive there on the day and, you know, it's electric. All schools are really focused. And it's an environment where you feel like you belong. And I think for the Xavier rowing program, the boys put in a lot of work and they feel like they really deserve to be there. And in terms of pressure and those sorts of things, we've practiced and rehearsed those things. And I think a lot of the key thing about the Xavier students is that they're handling pressure in a lot of areas of their lives, and we didn't really need to overthink things like that. And you just got to back them in and trust them and work with them individually, understand who they are and their character, and enjoy the day with them. And I think our coaches did a great job of that. And our juniors raced well, and I thought they were brilliant throughout all their races, and they all left it out there on the water. Our year 10s had season high performances, most of them coming second. A brilliant race from the 10A crew that was outstanding. Correct. I mean, boy, what a first 500 they put down, and to come through the middle of the race and hold off and push Melbourne Grammar all the way to the line, that was brilliant. And I think the highlight for me of the day was the third eight race. Some brilliant strategy in the morning, you know, sort of foxing, just playing mind games, and then came out in the final and laid out their best performance of the day. And those third eight guys, you know, they're not exceptional athletes or anything like that, but they're hardworking, dedicated, and committed rowers. What a celebration for Xavier Rowing to see them get up in the second eight as well. So yeah, delighted.
Tom, I'm interested about you. I mean, do you get nervous? You seem like a pretty together sort of a guy, but surely there's some nerves there.
The nerves for me are probably earlier in the season, you know, making sure that we're getting the training right and we're giving the kids the experience that they deserve. And that's what it is. When they come down to the boat sheds, that's a priority. We've got to make sure they're having a good time. They're seeing development. They're making progress. They're getting listened to. And we're helping them achieve their goals, both in the rowing program and externally here in the college. That's really important that we do that, and we help them through that journey. We mentor them and we're there to support them. And by the time the head of the river comes around, I'm really confident and proud and happy with where they were at and what they were going to achieve on that day.
Fantastic.
So. Yeah, and you were talking, both of you, about how so many crews sort of experience success on the day. And would you say that rowing's sort of a sport for everyone, for all types of people? You don't have to be an exceptional athlete, as you said, and obviously the cox is usually a pretty small guy in comparison to the rowers. So,
I think rowing, when you look at it from the outside, you either go, oh, you've got to be really big or you've got to be really small, but I don't really agree with that statement at all, because you look right through the program, you've got varying size of boys. Like, in our crew even, we had like Ollie Gurry, when he'd stand next to Jensen, there's like a big difference in stature between the two, and both of them equally contributed to our result at Head of the River. So it's not just in our boat either. Like, you look right down through the program and, yeah, you've got the little Cox, and that is a fun role. Like, you get to just yell at the boys to pull harder on the oar and get the best out of everyone, which I think that's a quite a rewarding role. But the other thing is, it's just more about seeing growth in yourself. Like, it might not be that you're in the first eight. Let's say you're in the thirds and you, at the start of the season, I'll use 2K as a good measure. You have like a 7:30 2K, and by the end of the season, you can get that down to a 7 minute, and you feel that you've done and had a lot of progress in seeing growth in yourself. I think that's a successful season, and that is worth being part of the program. So it's not just about your performance on the water. I think it's just about seeing growth in yourself and just, yeah, it's a lot. Like, you really discover a lot about yourself over your journey in the program.
We're looking forward to unpacking this a little bit more. But, Harry, you've got the mic at the moment. You spoke about performance there. So let's go to the big race. For those who mightn't have, and many aren't able to get up to Nagambi, simply, if you will see it on the stream quite clearly. But take us through that race. It was as someone very proud of the entire Sheds, it was a very proud moment for us. But you guide us through it.
Well, I think it starts like I'll start it in the crew chat before. I could start it so many places, but I'll start it in the chat before. And Sean Lake, he took us out to the point and just sort of said to us,
coach
of the first eight, said, like, boys, and he'd been saying it for a few weeks, he's like, if you want to win this race, you've got to be leading at the 1,000 metre mark. And all the boys sort of looked at each other and we all bought into that. And I think everyone just sort of trusted each other, knowing that we were going to go out there and do everything we could to have our bow ball in front by that 1K mark. And so we've had our warm-up, we're sitting at the line, and everyone's just knows that's what we've got to do. And that was quite a special feeling. I said to Tom before, like, Head of the River was weird. Like, there's no other crews warming up to race after you. It's sort of all silent when normally there's a lot of noise at the start. And our boat was really focused on the job we had ahead. So I think that's why we were able to overcome the nerves that you might see in other crews. And we were just sitting there. We knew what we had to do, waiting for the start. And then when it was go, all guns blazing. We'd rehearsed it in training so many times. We just went out there to make our boat the fastest to the 1K. And lucky enough, that's what we were able to do. So I think that's why a lot of people saw Xavier and Brighton going out, because we bought into that, and I don't think other crews were ready for us to have that much aggression in the first kilometre, which is a credit to Sean. That's what he sort of predicted. So,
great.
And Tom, I'm sure.
And so not only were you leading at the first K, you then sustained that, you know, really well throughout the entire race. Take us through. You were at 1,500. We're still a bit in front. Brighton are pressing hard. Take us through the last sort of 500.
So from that K to 1,500, everyone was like, right, we've put in that good effort. Now we've just got to hold on and let's just bring it home. And at this point, we're still leading quite comfortably. So all the boys just sitting in the rhythm. This is our transition. We've just gotten into the good rhythm again after the 1K. And we're just trying to, yeah, hold on to that last wind in the last 300 metres. And as we're going through this period, like, Brighton are really starting to push on us. And you could tell the boys have really put themselves out there and made themselves vulnerable in the first kilometre. So it was simply just going to be a matter of holding on for that last couple hundred metres. And, yeah, as we go through past the crowd, the noise just ramps up an extra volume and everyone just gets so much energy, and you honestly cannot feel what your body's doing. And you could really feel the boys wanting to just go that extra mile. But because in that first K, they've put so much out there, Brighton were just able to wind very strong across the line as they were doing throughout most regattas. And, yeah, I think that was why they were able to get over us, is just because they backed themselves in their wind, and because they were able to stay attached to us, like, some of their boys in the boat were still able to see our boat, they were able to push and get over us towards the end of the race. But yeah, it was absolutely great race to be a part of.
A sensational race at the other bank. I could only imagine what it was like in the boat, and I wouldn't put myself there, because I think I'd be out of my feet.
What but a fantastic Tom, explanation. Yeah. That was just riveting, listening to that.
Now, Tom, not your first rodeo. You've seen heaps of these, right? Like, you know, from your perspective, looking on at what was out there on the water, what did you see and what was going through your mind?
Oh, sure. I was on the sideline on the bike, very involved, very entrenched, and right up on a buzz from all the other Xavier Cruz results leading up to that moment.
We'll see.
And look, to be honest with you, I think it's coming up to 15 Head of the Rivers now that I've been on the bank coaching, and look, in a moment that I just sit back on the bike and enjoy, and I just absolutely love the process that they came out of the start. They got in control of the race. They're really brave with that. And then coming up through the 1,000-metre mark, holding a really good rhythm, rowing strong, and doing everything that we asked them to do in the planning and months of preparation. So from that moment, it's like, okay, well, it's in their hands. So I just enjoyed the journey in Brighton right there, and I just felt really proud to be able to watch that race and see them put on that show for us. That was an amazing moment for me, and to ride down and to share that experience with Harry and the crew and the rest of the Xavier community on the sideline on the tent there. I mean,
Tom,
yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah,
you wouldn't be aware. I took a phone call from Bill, who was just ecstatic. I mean, ecstatic. It was quite lovely. I didn't get to Nagambi, but when I saw the name come up on my phone, I thought, oh, this is the big moment. He was very, very excited, and it sounds like everyone was.
And I think it was, for me, like it was just the courage of the crew. And Tom, I loved, he said, you know, you look at the thirds row, you look at the seconds row, you look at the tenos, all of the nines right through all the quads. You know, they all, in their own little way, put it out there on the day. And I loved how you were speaking before about process. You know, what do you think, if I can ask, and Jared, I'll throw to you, but, you know, what does rowing teach you about life and about other things beyond just being in a boat and pulling it along the water?
Well, I think I was just talking to Harry a little bit. He was reflecting on the season about how busy he was and how intense he was. And for that period of time, he really dedicated it. But then he's come into the holidays and had 2 weeks where he really was able to switch off. And I think it teaches them an element that life does flow up. You have times, periods where it is hard and it is challenging and you've got a lot to balance, multiple things. But then there's also times when there's not a lot going on in your life. And I think it gives you the skills to work through each of those moments and look forward and go, this is coming up. If I sit down, work hard and achieve these goals, I will be rewarded. And that ties into the small things as well and the week-by-week improvements that they see as individuals. Because we like to invest in them as athletes, but also as people. So
sure.
We're developing athletes and we're developing people at the same time. But I think it teaches them to balance life well.
Jared?
Yeah. And so I guess to round it off, what would you say are the main reasons for which a boy should do rowing, should get in the boat? Like, obviously you said that you're developing them as athletes, as people. You get so much out of it. It's very rewarding. So, you know, sell it to us, I guess. Why should a boy do rowing?
Well, quickly, I'd just like to have a little shout out to our Year 7 and 8 students who did the sport combine at the end of last term, and they all tried rowing on the ergos for the first time, and it was brilliant. We had the video playing in the room, the rowing video, music going, and the kids were just outstanding on the 500-metre ergo test, and they loved it and opened their eyes up to something that was completely new and different. And I think that's something about rowing is unique at Xavier, and you can jump into it and you'll be a complete beginner, but by the time you get to Year 12, like Harry, you can be the best in the country. And it's a really unique experience, and it also shows that we have great talent here at Xavier that we can develop. We're developing beginners to the best in the country, as I just said, and I think if we put the work in, we can get a lot out of it. But from Harry, from an athlete's perspective...
Wasn't a bad sell there, Jared, I thought.
Yeah, no.
Well, I think like the main reason you do it is like any other sport. You just do it for pure enjoyment and fun, like what Tom was talking about, that 500-metre ergo test with the Year 7 and 8. So that just sounds like plenty of fun, like boys going down there, putting themselves out there and putting themselves through a bit of pain, but doing it alongside each other just reminds me of when I did it a couple of weeks ago. I just used to love it, especially on the water, like when you get the boat up and moving and you see all the progress you've had over the season, all the hard work you've put in, and it pays off towards the end. It's like, yeah, I made the right decision in choosing rowing, and it is a very, very rewarding sport because you do get to see the growth that you make throughout the season.
And maybe last one for me, we spoke about process and we've also spoken about pressure, you know, and you hopped onto that line, as every crew has to hop onto the line and know that there's 2,000 ahead and there's a race plan to execute, and will you win or will you lose or will you perform to your expectation, etc. You know, Harry, what do you think you've learned about dealing with pressure? You know, you're in year 12, you'll go through your VCE exams, you'll hop off to job interviews in life, and there'll be a lot of moments where that the heart's fluttering a bit and you're thinking, gee, how am I going to perform here? What have you learned about dealing with pressure?
Yeah, well, it's quite unique, like rowing. You get put in so many different situations where you are under pressure and you don't have your coaches there. You've just got to navigate it yourself, and the skill set that you've been gifted with over the season from your coaches and from the other boys around you, like you learn a lot through them as well. But dealing with pressure, because you have so much experience in those situations, you just have to really, you almost take a deep breath and just think, right, what method and what plan of attack can I apply to this situation to help get the best result? And I think that's a very important lesson, not only in rowing but in life as well, is being able to put some method to the madness as it is sometimes at the start line especially. And that really helps you to get through those situations, and you do see great results when you are able to disconnect yourself from all the pressure and all the nerves you might be feeling, and just back yourself in and back your skill set. And I think that's really, really valuable.
And before we go to around the grounds with Gerard, I might just chip in with one more too, Bill, if I could. I'm quite excited listening to you guys today. This wonderful day at Nagambie and the whole program, I'm hoping, is providing some real momentum for, say, the next 2 or 3 years. Just in your eyes, Tom, as head of rowing, how's the program coming together, and what is the next group looking like? Surely they're pretty motivated in terms of what happened on Head of the River Day.
Yeah, I think a great sense of achievement off the Head of the River will really help the boys moving forward. And we've got some excellent rowers in year 11 coming through, and the year 10 group is quite a large group as well. And really, really impressed with how they handled the season. Probably the first time in recent years that we've had a full season for that year group, and they were brilliant. So I think they're going to come through with a lot of potential, so that will be quite competitive. Yeah.
Ah, very exciting. Well, Bill, I think we might hand pass to the school captain, and let's go around the grounds, Gerard.
Of course, Eels. And so once again, a significant week in our college calendar. And so for those listening on Thursday, with Anzac Day being today, we had our Anzac Day celebration yesterday on Wednesday for the whole senior campus in the Rig Quad. So an important sort of event to have, remembering our past and all the old boys who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And we've also got our rugby and football first home games of the season, so a good one to look forward to as well. Yep, and we've also got our Anzac Day commemorative mass on Sunday for members of the college community. So all welcome to that. And the Maytime Fair is now just 10 days away.
Marching around.
That's right. So make sure you're prepared, you've pre-ordered your tickets, and you've marked the event in your calendar.
Beautiful. I've got a left field question, Bill. Way back at the beginning of the year, you were talking and asking people, what are you reading at the moment? And I haven't read Boys in the Boat, but I saw the film after the Head of the River. It got me pretty fired up when I saw the stream and how brilliantly you guys did. It's a fantastic film, but obviously it's also a great book.
It is. It's a fantastic. I gave it actually to my son as well to have a read, and I was on a bit of a high after the rowing, and my son and I had promised we'd go off to see it, so we snuck in seeing Boys in the Boat just before the presentation evening, and it was sort of a beautiful round out to an amazing weekend. But on that one, he'll say Boys in the Boat. If anyone wants to pick up the book, not just sort of see the great movie that came out, it probably gives you great insights into so much of, again, the courage and endurance and sacrifice, etc. And I use those words because I know the Prime Minister is on the Kokoda Trail at the moment.
Yes.
And is about to come out, and those words, standing on granite pillars of courage, sacrifice, endurance and mateship, and I see that come through this rowing program. And so just to Tom and Harry, you know, we just couldn't have been prouder, not just because a first eight boat did incredibly well, but because every boat just did us proud in their own ways and in their own sense of accomplishment. And watching the culture and spirit and atmosphere and how you develop young men in the shed as a college looking on, we couldn't be prouder. So I hope you have that sort of great sense with you as well. It's been great having you on this morning.
Thanks, Will. My pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it was great, Harry and Tom. One of our best episodes. It just was wonderful. And any young boys listening with your mum or dad, if this has got you a bit excited, then wow, come and find Mr. Abramowski or whoever might be the right person and put your name down, because I think we'll get a lot of good recruits out of today's episode. Jared, Bill, thanks again. Always great. And we'll see you for another edition of Zav Chat 7 days hence.